Hello, and welcome to Read It With Whiskey, the place to be if you are a sci-fi or fantasy reader. My name is Laura, and I am your host. I'm a reader, writer, and whiskey drinker, here to share with you the person behind the page, the author, and today's featured author is J.M. Williams. J.M. Williams is the author of several works of fantasy and science fiction. He has published around 45 short fiction pieces in the range of venues, including different sorts of magazines and websites. He has actually earned 6 honorable mentions in the Writers of the Future contest, among other awards. And he is the co-founder of Metal and Magic Publishing, currently serving as editor-in-chief and working with an international team of writers. He lives in Korea with his wife and cats. So I know you've heard of Metal and Magic Publishing on this podcast multiple times, and I do want to just say this is an indie press, so it is very similar to self-publishing. This podcast focuses on indie and self-published authors, so it's right up our alley. It is not a big box publishing company. It is nice and small, very, very specific on who they pick to be featured in the publishing company. So I'm really excited to have you guys listen in on the conversation with J.M. Williams as the co-founder of Metal and Magic. But we are also here to talk about his book, Call of the Guardian. When people are threatened, a guardian will hear their call. Empowered by its magic, he will fight to defend them. Draven is the last of the guardians, an ancient order of human warriors who wield the magic of dragons, trained by a small group of dissenting dragons who opposed the dark yearnings of their kin. For a time left in peace by the feudal dragon lords ruling the world of Soria, the dissenters and the human defenders they created thrived. Now they both are being hunted as the dark force rises in the south. When Draven's village is attacked by a new race of draconic slaves, he is forced on a quest to face a new evil. Such an exciting adventure, and I am so excited to dive into this interview with JM. Let's talk about Of Metal and Magic and The Call of the Guardian. Hello, JM Williams, and welcome to Read It With Whiskey. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, I'm really excited to talk to you today. We're going to talk all about your book, Call of the Guardian. But before we dive into this Of Metal and Magic core story, I would first love for you to tell us, how did you begin your writing career?
So I've always been a writer. I started writing as a kind of a serious hobby in elementary school. I actually started a book in elementary school with, you know, back in the 80s, old type of computer and printer where you had to rip the connectors off the side. I had about 15 pages in. It was a ripoff of Congo. That's kind of got how I got started, and it just kind of followed me throughout life. And then when I was at university, I was an English major, so I took as much writing classes as I could get, both short fiction and poetry, and just went from there. But I didn't really do any, I wouldn't call myself a professional until maybe 5 years ago when I started working on my first book, and then also started publishing short stories in like actual publications and starting to actually get some money for it too.
Yeah, and I've been onto your Amazon author page, and you have quite a few things listed there. And so are the majority of them short stories, or do you have a lot of novels? I know The Call of the Guardian was one of your first full length that you had published. Is that right?
Call of the Guardian was the second full length book that I wrote, but it was actually the first novel, because the first full length book was a little bit weird. I call it a short story novel. So it has one linear plot like a novel, but each chapter is a different character and it's kind of framed like a short story. So it's kind of somewhere between a short story collection and a novel.
Very cool.
Call of the Guardian was the first actual like novel of just like focusing on one kind of cast of characters.
Very cool. And it's still in that episodic type format as well. We've had other people from Of Metal and Magic on the show, and we always talk about that episodic style. It's very similar to how the Amazon Vella, the Kindle Vella, that episodic type of format. So have your books been on Vella? Because I was just talking to Richie Billing, was on the show a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about this, how these books would fit perfectly with that Vella format that's out there now. Is that something that you're diving into?
Yeah, I caught your episode with Richie, and I knew that this question was going to come up. They are not on Vella because the problem with Kindle Vella is it's exclusive content. So if you publish it anywhere else, mm-hmm. they won't take it for Vella. I've wanted to do a Metal and Magic Vella project, just haven't found time or an author interested yet. But the interesting thing about that is, so Of Metal and Magic started with a different publisher, a publisher called Fiction Vortex. The Of Metal and Magic world isn't actually my world. It was created by a guy named John Clapier. And I fell into that as a kind of a content writer, as a side author. He was the leader. I was a side author. And then he kind of went off to do other things for the company. And then I took over the team. And then I was owning the fantasy world. But what they were trying to do, and the reason why everything is in episodic format, they were trying to build a reading app where you would read fiction series. You would pay tokens to get episodes. years before Vela was out, like they had read the tea leaves and they knew what was coming. And to be honest with, I'm not too familiar with Vela, but what I understand is I would not be flabbergasted if it turned out that Vela poached Fiction Vortex's idea or bought them out and they just didn't tell us. But they went out of business, and when they went out of the business, I got them to sign over the rights for Of Metal and Magic, so that I could get, you know, take my authors and get us published.
Wow. Yeah. That's some behind the scenes stuff there. I didn't know that it was originated elsewhere. That was actually going to be one of my questions, was who built the world? How did it come about? So we'll expand on that in a little bit. But I'm flabbergasted that they had this idea for this episodic app and now it's out there through Amazon. So hopefully they sold it. And yeah. I mean, it's such a revolutionary idea. I think it's going to really expand and boom. And I know Vella is going to be out in international waters soon, or it already is. At one point it was only here in the States. But I think it's definitely growing at this point.
Yeah. It's streaming culture is big. So they, figuring out how to get text into streaming is a difficult thing, and maybe it works, maybe it needs something else, but it's going to happen eventually.
Yeah. all right. So let's expand a little bit more on that world building. So you said that someone else created it and you kind of expanded, and now you own the Of Metal and Magic. And so with that world building, had that original person had everything developed and you just did a little twist to it on your own, or were you a big part of that creation? And then also kind of expand on how the authors are involved with expanding it further too.
So there was a very basic framework that I fell into, and actually Call of the Guardian was the first book. So John was working on a book, but he wasn't done with it. And he wasn't going to get it done. So it was clear when I started that Call of the Guardian was going to be the first book. So the book, actually, part of the purpose of the book is to be the framework for the reader, to bring them in, to explain certain things like how magic works and kind of the historical foundations of the world and everything. But there was a very bare bones foundation. And then each author comes in with their ideas, and we negotiate, and when they write something and it gets published, it's canon. And now it's part of the history. So we've got several books, several short stories out there that's all part of the history now, because it's written, it's in print, it's been published.
Very cool. And I love that there is even in appendices in the back of this book that talks about the world and how there's 10 months in their year and they have different names for the days and things like that. And was all of that already created, or was that part of that expansion?
That was something that the current team kind of came up with. I think it was me and EA Robbins and a couple others that were teasing out some of these. She needed a lot of that stuff for her book. She needed to know how to call months, to call the months, and what to call the days and the seasons and stuff. So we kind of came up with that while she was writing her book. not as important for mine.
Yeah, and EA was actually the introduction for me into this world. She was the first one that I had here on Read It With Whiskey. Or was it, because I know we had Douglas W.T. Smith, EA Robbins. They were like right around the same time, I think. I can't remember who was first. But anyway, we had them and then Richie and now you. And that's something I really like about this world is that you don't have to read the books in any specific order because they're all core stories. They're all of the history, but you don't have to read them in sequential order. And that was something me and EA talked about quite a bit. So definitely fun to dive into this fantasy world. And I would like to know what inspired you for this specific story within the world then. Do you remember the motivation or inspiration behind these characters?
Everybody you talked to probably said this episodic thing is weird when you get started at it. So like everybody else, like I pushed this on them, but like I fell into it too and it was pushed on me. And I'm like, what are you talking about episodic? That's not what is episodic, an episodic novel. But I embraced it. And I found myself a template. So the inspiration, the big inspiration for my book was the fantasy TV that I was growing up with, which was like Hercules and Xena.
Mm.
So if you think back to the way that the Hercules series is kind of formatted, every episode they go to a different village and they've got to solve a different problem. So there's a lot of that in this book. And there's characters inspired by some of the characters that we'll probably talk about later on in this interview. So that's how I kind of parsed it. And now I really like it because there's a lot more structure to an episodic novel because you have not only your book arc, but you have these episode arcs, and it gives you a contained chunk where you can, you know what you're kind of, it's a bit more organized. You know what you're getting into and you know the objective you have to write for that episode. You have something you have to achieve. And it does help me write through it to have these kind of very digestible chunks that you go through one by one. And
yeah, definitely. And so, I mean, yeah, now that you're saying that with the Hercules and I'm being like, yep, going to different villages, having like an objective. That was definitely a theme throughout the book. So tell our listeners a little bit about what the book is actually about, some of the characters and what their actual mission is throughout the story.
So Call of the Guardian is a very traditional fantasy story about a young group of friends who find themselves kind of at the pinnacle of change in their world. Facing danger. It's a very kind of conventional fantasy heroes have to go out and save the world type story. But beyond that, in addition to the humans, you have dragons and unicorns, which play an important part in this role in this world, especially kind of the mythology and the origin of this world. It's a kind of a feudal society where the dragons are in charge and they don't take good care of people, and the people are finally getting fed up and fighting back. But at the same time, there's this mysterious magic that, so there's only humans are until this book starts, humans are the only kind of mortal race of beings on the world. And then something new shows up in the first episode, in the pilot episode, we can call it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have to deal with that.
Yeah, and it's a fun introduction to the story as well. I loved the first scene, our main character, Draven, he is being bullied and he wanders into this cave and he falls upon a dragon, which at that point dragons weren't really seen very much. And we hop into like the present time then, and he has grown into a guardian. And I would love for you to tell our listeners, what are guardians and what is that relationship to dragons?
Yeah. So, and I'll just add one thing about that particular scene. I didn't want to do the stereotypical mentorship thing that go meet Yoda mandatory, like meet the mentor and train in the middle of the book thing. So I bypassed it. The second scene of the book is like 10 years later. And he's already, had some training and he's going off on his adventure. So the dragons are the feudal lords of the world. And they don't get along with each other either. They are embodiments of power. And what comes with that is, you know, greed and selfishness and aggression and all those kind of aggressive traits. So they're always fighting with each other over their domains. It's a feudal society where dragons are fighting wars amongst themselves, and humans are paying the cost. But there's a small group of dragons that don't want to play that game, and they see the suffering and they want to do something about it. So what they've done is they each adopt a human warrior to imbue with some magical power, and that warrior is a guardian. The way they don't want to give this human too much power, so the way the guardian's magic works is it's very limited, and he can only really use his power when people are in danger. I don't know how much I can say without spoiling, and it comes out in the first first episode, but mm-hmm. The guardian's power is the call, and the call relates to when people are in danger. The more people are afraid, the more powerful he can use his magic. But if there's nothing going on, if it's just an everyday, you know, everybody's calm and happy, he has no magical power.
Right. Exactly. And I loved how everybody kind of learned about that as the book goes. You learn a little bit more. So we, like you said, we won't jump into those spoilers of the story. But yeah, that was going to be my question of that magic. And so you already answered that. I love it. That's the call of the guardian, hence the name of the book, what it's all about. So let's dive a little bit into characters. So I would love to know, who is your favorite character, and maybe expand on them a little bit.
I think anybody who has opened the book should know who my favorite character is. The book is dedicated to one of the characters named Martin. Mm-hmm. And Martin was not supposed to be really anything. So going back to that, this book is heavily inspired by Hercules' legendary journeys. Martin is Salmonius, and he was supposed to just be the comic relief, and that is it. Mm-hmm. And as I was writing the book, he wasn't happy with that role, and he decided to take on a new role that I was not expecting. And I kind of thought, like, I was writing myself into Draven, who is the lead hero, and he's a very conventional fantasy young leader, hero, warrior type, stoic and kind and brave. By the end of the book, I think there's a lot of me in Martin as well. Maybe more realistic parts.
I love that, because he was actually listed as one of my favorites, was Martin. I really liked him and his growth throughout the story and just the role that he plays throughout. And like you said, he was kind of like that comic relief at the beginning. But as you go through, I'm not going to say anything else because we don't want to give any spoilers. But he was definitely one of my favorites. And then Aizu, is that how you say it? Yeah. Aizu, the Dragonkin. And I liked that character because it gave us more information about the evil side of the story. So can you tell us, without giving away, I mean, you can tell us this part of it, but we won't tell why it's important to the story. But what are Dragonkin?
So, as I mentioned before, until this story, humans were the only mortal race on this world. And then in the first opening scenes of the book, the Dragonkin appear, which are basically lizard folk from, if you played any Dungeons and Dragons, that's kind of what they look like. But they're a blend of human and dragon. They're humanoid dragons. And part of the story is figuring out where they come from, how they suddenly appeared out of nowhere, where they came from, who they are. And that's a journey of discovery for the characters, as well as Aizu. So Aizu is one of the Dragonkin that kind of joins the heroes. So she's figuring out who she is and where she came from and what it means to be Dragonkin.
Yeah. I loved learning about Aizu and what Dragonkin were and the conversations that they had. Okay, so we talked a little bit about characters, a little bit about the world building and the magic. And obviously, this is an epic fantasy. This is going to be one of those traditional fantasy stories. So expand a little bit on who this book is for. If you had to pick a certain type of reader or a certain reader persona, who do you think should pick up this book?
So I've thought a lot about not only target audience, but genre. Somebody told me, somebody described the book as young adult, and I wasn't quite sure if I agreed with that at first, but now I definitely do. It's a coming of age book. So it's young heroes coming into their own, trying to learn who they are while going on an adventure. So, fans of fantasy who like magic and dragons and battles are going to like it, but it's also about identity and finding meaning. There are a little, some darker elements, some sinister elements, not anywhere as bad as like adult fantasy can get or like grimdark or anything like that. But that's kind of like, I was hesitant at first to call it young adult just because there's some elements that, might be a little bit intense for a younger reader to get at, especially with how the dragonkin are made. But yeah, it's, I think it appeals to anybody who is kind of looking for themselves.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That's perfect. Yeah. And epic fantasy. I mean, I love epic fantasy. And so I was drawn in right away. All right. So as writers, we all start as readers. So I want to learn a little bit more about your reading habits. So what is your favorite genre to read?
So it might come to a surprise, but I actually don't read a lot of fiction these days. Especially, I don't read a lot of fantasy. As a fantasy editor, I probably should do better. I actually don't read a lot. I get most of my content in audiobook form. I love audiobooks.
Mm.
So I am a big nonfiction, particularly history, sociology, modern kind of like politics and that kind of thing. That's mostly because it relates somewhat to my job, my regular job. So I'm always trying to get better. I'm always trying to learn and improve myself. Mm-hmm. And keep moving up the ladder. So yeah, a lot of nonfiction. One of the books that I read recently is called, I think it was called A Brief History of Tomorrow. And it's one of my favorite authors is Noah Yuval Harari, who wrote Sapiens. And Sapiens is about how human invention of language and abstract ideas is really what the basis of civilization. Well, A Brief History of Yesterday kind of takes that same idea, but focuses on what the ideas were. So like what was the common train of thought in Babylon or in ancient China or during the Crusades up through modern times, up through the Enlightenment, Marxism and the Machine Age. So those are kind of the big nerdy books that I like.
I love it. And I'm sure those can definitely drive inspiration because I know when I read books that are completely outside of my genre, I get inspiration nuggets and they can expand within the stories that I write. And so no matter what you read, you're always going to find some little nuggets of gold in there. Awesome. So I would love for you to tell us, do you have any upcoming projects that you're working on that you'd like to share?
Jumping off of what you said, getting inspiration from books,
yeah.
my current work in progress. So Call of the Guardian is a duology. There's a second book coming. There's not a word of it yet. I actually know how it ends. I've got that in my head. I just don't know how it gets there and I haven't started writing it. My current work in progress is actually a spinoff called The Fierce. And you might, that moniker might sound familiar to you because there's a character referenced in Call of the Guardian all the time, Gain the Fierce, who is this kind of like legendary, almost Heracles type character. That's the book I'm writing right now, and it's the most complicated thing I've ever written. I was a little disappointed with Call of the Guardian. I was kind of shoehorned in to do this very kind of conventional fantasy book, adventure book, which it turned out great. I like it, but like I'm going 100 miles in the other direction trying to do more. It's an epistolary book with academic layers, and I do a lot of academic publishing as well, so I'm kind of weaving all this in. So the intro to each episode is a letter from an archaeologist who's unearthed the ancient text of Gain the Fierce, and he's translating it. and there's footnotes, because when he translates it, he might be like, well, I don't know exactly what this word means. So there's a lot of meta layers into it. It's completely complicated. Ooh. I try to borrow the voice of the Iliad, one of the new translations of the Iliad. So I borrow a lot of those devices, those oral history devices. Yeah, I just got to find time to finish it because it's been a work in progress for quite a while.
Do you have a timeline of when it's going to be published? Or is that kind of like, not sure yet?
Usually our books are 10 episodes. I've got 3 more episodes to go. And that's the first draft. And then some of it's been in my peer review group, but it hasn't been a complete thing that's gone through revision yet. So it's a long way. It's a long way off. And most of my time I spend now doing editorial duties. So I haven't had a lot of time to do a lot of writing. I will add, I have 2 short stories coming out this year, one in Abyss and Apex and one in Dreamforge magazine, which are kind of semi-pro to pro science fiction magazines. And those are the best sales I've ever had. So next year is going to be an exciting year for me.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely. I'll be here for the ride to watch you and watch the growth over time. And exciting, exciting stuff is happening. All right. Well, this wouldn't be Read It With Whiskey without talking a little bit about whiskey. So what is your favorite whiskey to drink?
So I like all sorts of whiskeys, but I really like scotch, not because it's scotch and just because scotch is supposed to be amazing, but because of cask finishing. It's something you don't see with bourbon, and it's something you don't see so much with like Irish whiskeys and other things. Mm-hmm. So my current favorite whiskey that I can get a lot of, because I can buy it close by, is the Glenmorangie Quinta Rubin. It's the port cask finish. It has just the most beautiful rose gold color I've ever seen. And it also has this really potent kind of chocolate caramel kind of coffee. It just like hits you in the face. And yeah, it's good.
It sounds good. It sounds really good. All right. Well, JM, I would love for you to share with our listeners where they can find you and find your books and follow along with your journey.
I think that the best place to find me is at the OMAM website, which is ofmetalandmagicpublishing.wordpress.com. I don't actually tend my own social media much these days, but I do occasionally push out a blog post on the OMAM website. Yeah, you can find me there. And if anybody wants to reach out, we have a contact page that comes straight to me too. So send me questions, send me comments.
All right. Well, this has been really, really fun. I loved diving into the world of OMAM. So thank you so much, JM, for being on the show.
No, thank you. It was great.
What a treat it was to have 4 OMAM authors on Read It With Whiskey. I'm so excited to have JM and really learn the history of how the publishing company came to be. Definitely check out their website, check out what they're doing. And after we were done recording, JM actually told me that Douglas W.T. Smith is actually working on his full core story for the publishing company before we had him on for his novella, Shadow of the Wicked. Definitely go ahead and check out his episode here on Read It With Whiskey. You can go ahead and check out the backlog to find that on the website. And of course, all of the links to JM's books and his website will be in the show notes. So check those out. Go ahead and support him. And if you go on the website, you can actually get a free download of another element from the publishing company. So check it out. And next week with Read It With Whiskey, we will be doing another little fun episode. We are going to be talking about how to choose the next book to read. It kind of sounds obvious, like read what you want to read, but is there a science behind it? Like, can you get yourself out of a rut by reading certain books? Should you read books on your list top to bottom, like first in, first out? We're going to talk all about it in the next episode. So I will talk to you then. You've been listening to an episode of Read It With Whiskey. I'm your host, Laura Gentinen, and I want to personally say thank you so much for listening. Your support of the podcast means so much to me, and I would love to get to know you. Hop on over to Instagram and follow us at Read It With Whiskey. Please chime in on this episode's post, share it on your social media and with your friends, and come back next time to hear more from self-published authors. I'll talk to you soon.